From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th day of February, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Total Farm Marketing, discuss the weather forecast to that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and along the way, I'll tell you about the performance-tested bull sale that will take place near Macomb, Illinois tomorrow. That's the IPT bull sale. com that you can go to in person or watch online if you'd like, and you can learn more right now on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn at $5.59 and a quarter, finished 5 and a half higher for the day. The May at $5.57, up 4 and a half, and December 7 higher at $4.76 and three quarters for the new crop. Soybeans March contract $14.23 and three quarters, up 17 and three quarters. The May at $14.25 and three quarters, 17 and a quarter higher. And November beans at $12.38 and a quarter, 16 and a quarter higher. The bean meal up $1.80. Bean oil also $1.88 higher for the day. Wheat futures soft red up 14 and a half cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished $1.02 and a half higher. The feeders were up $1.80, and the lean hogs finished $3 higher at $89.42 and a half. Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, now joins us to discuss the marketplace in Chicago. New contract highs were made for new crop corn and soybeans. We'll get to that in a moment because kind of interesting there, but we probably, Jackie, should start with our normals, the support and resistance for the day.
Okay, well, now that March corn has had first notice day, I've moved to May. We're too close to first notice to continue to do March. So May support 529, resistance 581, the crossover's at 561, July 534, 557, crossover at 584. December corn, which is a weekly chart, support 447, resistance 475, and the weekly crossover is at $5, where it continued to be an up channel. Top end of that channel is 482, the bottom end of the channel is 438. When we look at beans, Todd, we've got May support 1290, resistance 1436, and a crossover at 1338, July 1342, 1433 and 1421 for a crossover. November 1139 for support, 1270 resistance, and we continue to have an uptrend range with the top end being 1273 and the bottom end being 1139. It was interesting to see the new contract highs that you mentioned in the new crop today. We didn't do it in the old crop, so I thought that that was a fairly decent indicator that the market is taking into account some of the information that we received over the last week. When we look at the Dow Jones index, 31,653 is resistance, 29,536 is support, and the U.S. dollar, which had gained and has now backed off, 87,81 support, 92,07 resistance. And managed money, interesting. You know, we talked a little bit last week about if the weather forecast came in and it was not changed a great deal for South America, that managed money might come in and start to add to their positions. Well, they did. On wheat, they went from 19,000 to 31,000. Corn, 340 to 381. Soybeans, from 167 to 186. Soy meal, from 63 last week to 70 this week. And soy oil, from 114 to 124. All long positions, you know, and so, and we're still not near the record highs in terms of how much managed money has actually held in the past. When we look at export inspections, wheat exports are running 2% behind a year ago, same as they were last week. Corn, 80% ahead of a year ago. It was 84% last week. Soybeans, 77% ahead of a year ago, and it was 77 last week. We have seen the USDA. We now expect a 46% increase for the season. That's 3% higher than what we originally thought. And 34% increase for beans on the year, and that's up a couple percentage points, too.
So I think the question, Jackie, is really what's driving the marketplace? And I'm basing this off of those new contract highs and in new crop corn and soybeans while not making them in the old crop.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we've been following the carry between May corn and December. It's at 81. I mean, we saw it close to a dollar for a while. May beans to November beans, $1.85. We saw that very close to $2 for a while. So I think you have to summarize it by saying uncertainty, Todd. If you looked at the Ag Forum last week, the department came out and said 92 million acres of corn, 90 million acres of beans. Basically, that was less corn acres and more soy acres than what the market expected. And, you know, they're both going to be up for the year. There's no question about that. We've got South American weather. We continue to see harvest problems down there and lack of rain in some areas. I think you look at the recent impact that the weather had on the wheat crop. When you see some parts of the Dakotas where they didn't have any snow cover and had extremely cold temperatures for a couple of days before snow finally developed. You know, we've been talking a bit about the drought that we've continued to see. And, you know, that's going to be focused, according to what the National Oceanic Atmospheric, or NOAA, says. It's going to focus for much of the central region of the United States through the spring. And that's due to La Nina. And so I thought Eric Snodgrass, who is the primary atmospheric scientist at Nutri Ag Solutions, he was talking at the 2021 Top Producer Summit, and he said the models are pointing to similar patterns that were present in 2020. Corn Belt's going to likely see above average temperatures in May and June with some early season drought. Then as the heat sets up, it'll mitigate west as we get into July and August. He notes that the climate has already reshaped part of the 21 growing season. He said since 1948, between May and March, the primary corn and soybean belt states have measured a two-inch increase in precipitation and temperature. They warmed about 1 degree. So that reduced the number of workable days by five, but it also allowed us to get in the fields earlier, so it lengthened the growing season by nine. So isn't that interesting? You know, when you wouldn't think it would do that, but it does. But this sixth point that I've got, Todd, I think is probably even the greater point in terms of impact. And this Bloomberg had a nice article called "Commodity Markets Are Booming." Oil's up 30% for the year. Copper hit a 9-year high. Grain markets are up strong. We've got some depleted stocks. But the more subtle indication here is when you look at the value of the raw materials right now in the world, it's yield. So, you know, interest rates aren't doing very well. Bond yields are historically down. So you and I have talked about this before. Where do we come to try and get a better return? They come to the commodities. And so I think that is some of the underlying drive that we have here that people don't really see, but it's there.
And this is part and parcel of the bull spread in the marketplace, meaning that they're reaping the carry out of they're reaping the market, the reward out of the market, thinking that the new crop will come up to meet the old crop.
That's the thinking, you know. And until we get more solid, you know, at the end of March is when we'll get the first planting intentions report, and so between now and then, you know, the thinking will flip back and forth is what it'll do. You know, I think we're going to see probably quite a bit of range trade, although. As we head to South America, I've got some information I think that is also driving some of the market, not just South American weather, but some of the other things that are going on down there.
Can you tell me about it?
Well, when you look at Brazil, one of the things that really propelled us yesterday was that Bolsonaro, who is the president, moved to replace the head of the state-run oil company, Petrobras. And he's really been wrangling with this guy. He actually replaced him, or is looking to replace him, with an army general with no oil or gas experience. And it's because of the current fuel prices. I mean, people are just riding his back because of coronavirus, because of the fuel prices, and all of the other things that are going on down there. So the minute that the market saw that happen, they immediately got shook and said, you know, that could be more things coming here. Now, here's another thing that we've been seeing. Traders are suing Brazilian farmers for defaulting on early sales. We saw this back in 2004. They did it back then. So, you know, some of these exporters are really in a pinch. You know, if they don't get the beans, they got to buy it on the spot market at a much higher price. And they don't have the option to not meet the contract. And so they're going to have big financial losses if these farmers don't deliver the beans. And Andre Nasser, who is the head of ABIOV, That's a group represents the major trading houses, said, forward contracts between traders and farmers usually don't have a washout clause, but they have a fine that must be paid in case of noncompliance. The penalty ranges from 20 to 50% of the value of the non-delivered cargo. Well, when you look at the fact that prices have doubled, farmers are still going to probably do it. So some of these companies ask a judge for permission to seize the beans that they purchased from these farmers. It hasn't been an overwhelming number of people who've been doing it, but it's very high for this early stage in the harvest, which is running about only 15% complete. So one of the partners at the Santos Nato Law Firm, he opened 12 lawsuits just in the past 2 weeks against farmers who didn't deliver. And he said, we have clients that are considered suspicious on 2,000 forward contracts from a total of 5,000 signed. And so, this is a serious thing. And so if farmers aren't going to bring the beans to the market, it could, again, push them more toward us. But we don't have the stocks that we would like to have. So there's also been something really weird going on down there. In Mato Grosso, with this soybean crop, they have an unidentified disease. And it seems like it causes individual seeds to rot inside what looks like an ordinary pod. So you can't tell. And they still haven't identified that disease. And the other thing that's going on is the high amount of pod abortion going on in the soybean fields in the state of Paraná. And that's from dryness and heat. We know what that's all about. And so when it comes to Argentina, not a whole lot of interest, stuff there other than their financial stuff that doesn't change very much. Early planted beans are 62% setting pods, 15% filling. Later planted beans, 55% flowering, 5% setting pods. The most advanced development in the core production area is about 35% filling pods, which is still about 20% behind the average. So it certainly, I saw a blurb today saying that they expected that they were going to ship 6 million metric tons out in February. Well, February is almost over, and the line of ships just doesn't stop. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the numbers really come out like. Early planted corn down in Argentina, 56% filling grain, 23% mature, just 0.4% harvested late this last week. And the late corn is 57% pollinating, 20% filling. And, that's where the issues are, is because if you have hot, dry weather during pollination, we know what that does. And so the quality of the crop, we may have the bushels, we might not have the quality of the crop down there that we'd like to have. So always interesting. Never stops educating you. I can tell you that much.
Indeed, and thank you for sharing it all with us. I appreciate that. You have a good week. We'll talk with you again next week, too.
You too. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Jackie Vake. She is with Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri. The Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale is Thursday of this week. It's at a new facility just to the west of Macomb at the Louderman Auction House. That's near Colchester. We're now joined by Travis Mateer from University of Illinois Extension. He helps to organize the event. Hi, Travis. Thanks for being with us. How are things going as you get set up in this new facility?
Good, Todd. We're glad to have a sale this year, I think, and a great set of bulls have come together. As I watched these cattle be consigned, it was one of those deals where you kind of scratch your head for a while about how we're going to pull this off. But you need to when you've got a set of cattle like this and reputable longtime breeders. This is the 53rd annual Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale to keep the tradition going and keep this venue and this opening of bulls available for sale for progressive cattlemen in Illinois and the Midwest, I think, is important.
You and I have talked many times about this sale. What's the impact of a bull sale like the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale on Illinois and the Midwest?
Yeah, so the numbers we always talk about is how we've sold over 4,800 bulls for a total of $8.9 million or just north of there. But the impact's much more. I've been able to build relationships with the consigners, the purebred operators, and then watch them sell bulls to other seed stock producers, commercial cattlemen, and the traits and the performance and the genetics that are packed into these bulls go to work for Illinois cattlemen. And so that makes for better genetics all the way through, and that eventually winds up on the consumer's plate, right, Todd, in terms of meat quality, a good steak, good successful genetics. The consumer still reaps the benefits.
It really does take something to have a bull consigned to this sale. I mean, there's just a lot of background that goes into it, and a lot of hard work.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've talked, and I'm sure your listeners probably remember us talking about the stringent requirements for the IPT bull sale. There are a lot of hurdles to jump over. We meet performance requirements. We make sure that the bulls are sound, they're functional. We score them for muscle. Bulls that we have to, we have strong EPD requirements, and an EPD is an expected progeny difference. That's really a live look into the metrics of those bulls' calves. We have strict requirements for those EPDs, and we've kind of upped the ante here in recent years. Now all these bulls are DNA tested. They have genomic enhanced EPDs. And so their EPDs are higher accuracy. You're buying a lower risk product. And the bulls are what we say they are. So I'm sure in the past someone bought a bull and said, well, he didn't breed like I thought he was going to. That bull may have been out of the cleanup bull and not the AI sire. These bulls that all sell, they're a known package. We know exactly what they are. And so I think that matters a lot too.
I take it that the EPDs, the expected progeny differences, are a way of projecting performance into the future of the offspring from these bulls.
I would call it a target-rich environment, Todd. These bulls are all really good in terms of their numbers. There may be some difference in terms of one trait to another, but you can come here knowing that these bulls are good in terms of their numbers and kind of hone in on the traits that bring the most value in your market. So maybe it's calving ease that's the big thing for you, because we know we need live calves and we need to not put a lot of labor into assisting them. It could be weaning weight, could be carcass traits if you're marketing direct to the consumer. All of those things we illustrate through those EPDs.
So the sale is at 11 o'clock on Thursday of this week. Again, it's at a new venue. You'll be outside of Macomb at the Louderman Auction facility. It's near Colchester. And for those who can't come, they'll be able to bid online or by phone?
Absolutely. So we've got liveauctions.tv, our online bidding service. The information is on the website. And if you would prefer to bid over the phone, I just ask that you arrange that with me before the sale. So I would send everybody to iptbullsale.com, and they'll find the information for our online and phone bidding there.
Again, if you're interested in the IPT bull sale, it's this Thursday at 11 o'clock. That's the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. You can find all the details online at iptbullsale.com. Travis Mateer, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's check the weather forecast now. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. What a difference a week makes. Tell me about the forecast in the United States.
Oh, my gosh. You're absolutely right. You know, I'm still reading the damage reports from a week ago in South Texas from all the fruits and vegetables that fell over backwards and are gone. And, you know, it was in the 80s in southern Oklahoma and northern Texas yesterday afternoon. And we're going to see a lot of 70 and 80 degree temperatures down in the southern plains as we go forward through the next few days. It certainly is interesting, like you said, how we have changed in such a short period of time. The Delta and the Mid-South area in general, Tennessee River Basin, that area is getting set for some repetitive rains of significance. We're probably going to have some flooding that will take place. This is going to occur from Friday through Monday. At least that's the first round of precipitation. It'll come in a few waves. The rain totals will be 4 to 6 and maybe 6 to 8 inches in a few spots. It'll be a pretty bad situation there. The ground is already saturated, so it's not going to take much to cause a bigger problem. And of course, that area will start planting normally in March. And so we've got to get this out of the way so that we don't face more delays like we had last year. But outside of that, most of the hard red winter wheat country, the northern plains, a big part of the Midwest north of the Ohio River Valley will not be bothered by much precipitation through this first week in the outlook. Now, as we get into the second week, there is a pretty good chance we're going to see a storm system of size that will move across the region. This storm system right now is poised for about the 6th through the 8th. We may see some significant snow and rain occur across the area at that point in time. And unfortunately, this will include a part of the Tennessee River Basin and Northern Delta. Again, they'll have a few days break between the systems, but they will end up with more moisture. Shouldn't be as heavy as that, which is coming up here right away. And as far as hard red winter wheat is concerned, that region, especially in the high plains area, will not be seeing much moisture. So they're falling back into that old pattern of below average precipitation, and we'll see some warm weather once in a while. So that'll be back on the list of places to watch as we go forward in time.
In South America, harvest for soybeans is behind, in part because of the late planting season, but they've been just delayed by weather conditions there as well. Can you give me an update on what their forecast looks like?
Yeah, I think from this point forward, it's more status quo. And I think, you know, if we had been able to plant that safrinha corn and get those soybeans harvested normally, this wouldn't be an issue at all. When you step back and look at the percentage of normal precipitation in the key safrinha crop areas, we're really not even close to being wetter than normal, except in parts of northern and eastern Mato Grosso. So most of the key second season crop areas are actually been reporting below average precipitation for a while. Now, we are going to see an increase in precipitation take place over this coming week to week and a half. And so there will be some additional delay in some of that farming activity. I'm hearing some buzzes out there in the marketplace and from the farming community that if this continues too much longer, like two more weeks, there's a potential they may lose some of their area intended to be planted because it's just getting so darn late. So we're going to be watching that pretty closely. But as from a pure weather perspective, we're going to see alternating periods of rain and sunshine. There will be a great moisture profile for crops that are full season crops or already planted safrinha crops. They'll do just fine. But trying to get some of these soybeans out of a few of those fields is going to be a little bit of a challenge, especially in parts of Mato Grosso. And eventually we'll probably see some of that issue showing up in northern Paraná again, but that's probably several days away. And lastly, Sao Paulo actually has been drier than usual in the past couple of weeks, and the ground's really firmed up a lot. Some of the sugarcane producers are getting a little riled there. And this rain coming up here in the coming week will help that cause and will also help to delay, unfortunately, the corn and soybeans that are being harvested there as well.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helped us to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.